This section will be about 20 minutes in duration. One of my students recently asked me the question in class, why do people stop developing? After telling her that I have no idea, which is the most sincere response, I said, when life works relatively well, people stop developing. And there's some truth to this perspective. This holds some water, if you will. Because when we find a strategy, when we find a way that is to live our life, to function in relationship, to be who we are professionally, we often find a way that is relatively successful. It works most of the time. And that's the risk, is that if it's relatively successful, the impetus for change, growth, and development goes away. And we can literally spend the next decade or 20 or 30 years of life rinse and repeat cycle, where we simply do the same loop, use the same strategies on life, and yield more or less the same results with some different surface features changing. And it does, at least in my mind, hold quite a bit of water in terms of why do people stop developing. And we stop developing because we find a relatively workable way of functioning in our lives. The cost of that is, of course, we're completely or largely unconscious of the tremendous amount of complexity that doesn't even fit in our own mind. And the most beautiful, the most elegant dimensions of humanity remain hidden from us. And we presume that we're getting the most out of life because we're, you know, deploying our strategies as most as effectively as we can. And this is not the truth. This is, in fact, it's a lie. It's a betrayal of who you can become in the world. So in that context, forced risks are an incredibly powerful vehicle for transformation. Sometimes forced risks, they take over your life, and there's no negotiating them. But there's probably many dimensions of forced risk that are starting to emerge that we're just not listening to. And so I encourage you to pay very close attention to your dissatisfaction. And we tend to not like to do that, but I really want to invite you to curiously open your attention towards what is dissatisfying. Where does life fall short? And what's not working? And actually spend more time investigating what isn't giving us the perhaps a more rich and heartbreakingly beautiful texture of life in our body minds. So by doing so, perhaps we might actually unearth and bring to surface some of the more pervasive force risks that are starting to present themselves in our life. And if we can bring them forward and actually expand our relationship to them, we may be able to likely accelerate our own development. So once a force risk is here, the most basic response is to use calculated risks as a strategy for solving the force risks. So, and there's an inherent problem in this, right? You cannot rehearse the solution to a forced risk, right? Because rehearsal, the basic mechanism of rehearsal, is fixed inside of your present mental complexity. And remember, force risks are born from an incongruence between your mental complexity and the demand that's pressing upon you. And so if you simply fall back onto rehearsal, you'll simply be rehearsing your present level of mental complexity, which is by definition inadequate. It's insufficient to fully address the complexity that you're immersed in right now. And so that's the basic failure. So before we move on, I just want to state that calculated risks are excellent. They're absolutely excellent for bridging your mental complexity, what you have inside of your mind, and bridging that into your behavior in the world. That's where calculated risks thrive. They do an excellent job at taking your present mental complexity and expanding it out into different areas of your life. It's perhaps unsurpassed by anything else. Now, they're largely impotent at helping you develop your mental complexity. So your autonomous drive to rehearse, to engage in more calculated risks, is largely impotent. Right? Sometimes creative insight will emerge, right? And that's something that's different. When creative insight shows itself to you in your mind's eye and you start to then see a new scenario, that's a little bit different. It's not exactly rehearsal. It's actually more of a discovery process. Now, that private discovery process, it may be one of these pieces that helps you reveal more of the mental complexity that's needed for you to actually address the more forced and pervasive risk that is working you. So there are no kind of 1, 2, 3 steps, you know, like first do this, next do that. Force risks are just much more complex. And in respect of that complexity, I only have one basic strategy for you. And it points you towards the necessity of culture. And you need to get into relationship with people. And not just anybody, right? But you need to get into relationship with the most skilled and developed human beings that you know of and have access to. You need to get in relationship with those people. And by whatever means it takes, get into contact with them. Make sacrifices, move your schedules around. If it's an economic exchange, figure it out. Whatever it takes, make it happen. One of the basic concepts of how we develop as human beings is that we take our external communications, our external relationships, and then we then later on internalize those. Lev Vygotsky is one of the most famous developmental psychologists who put this notion forward, in particular around children developing. And he said that the children are participating in culture, and the culture that they're immersed in with friends and peers and teachers and parents and siblings actually gets internalized as new kind of interior relationships that they can have with themselves. And there's obviously good news and bad news with that. But that basic process appears to be going on again and again and again throughout childhood, throughout adolescence, and certainly throughout adulthood. And the reason why I say you need to seek out and get curious about the most skilled and developed human beings that you know of and have access to is because I want you to be having conversations with those people. I want you to be exchanging and dialoguing, having conversations with them. More specifically, I want you to be having a conversation about your forced risks, right? About the complexity that you can't quite make sense of, but you're just swallowed up by it. Have that conversation with these particular people, because they're going to have a different vantage point. They're going to have more experience. They're going to have more complexity to reflect back to you. And they're going to be pointing at objects that likely you can't even conceive of yet. So you want to get super curious, very open, and very receptive to what they're saying. And when you get confused and you get foggy or unclear, that's precisely where I want you to ask them to slow down, repeat themselves, and articulate things in different ways many times, because those are new objects for you to actually apprehend and grasp in your mind's eye. And as soon as you can start to hold it, they're actually inviting you and ushering you into a greater complexity. So part of coaching and therapy involves hopefully somebody who's incredibly skilled and incredibly developed in a particular way that you want to grow. And perhaps they specialize in it. And I just want to comment on a few pieces here, because again, statistically speaking, if we look at just Keegan's research, less than 1% have stable access to fifth order consciousness, or what we've been referring to as the self-transforming mind. So it's not common, right? And it might be a little bit more common in these helping professions, but it's not going to be the vast majority of them. It's probably going to still be, 90% or more are probably still functioning in more conventional stages of development. They're still functioning in their autonomy. And many coaches and therapists simply function out of a more socialized mind. And it's, that's certainly not, I wouldn't say it's a majority, just the helping traditions in terms of coaching and therapy pretty much require a fourth order self-authoring construct, or you really struggle to do your job. But so there's a few pieces that I want to challenge you in terms of, if you're stepping into coaching and therapy or you're already in it, I want you to be curious about these things around who is my coach and what is their relationship to autonomy. Because there's a good chance that you're reading The Elegant Self, you're interested in growing beyond autonomy. Now, if they're not in some way beyond autonomy, they cannot help you. Not at least develop beyond autonomy. They can't help you with the developmental transformation that is likely underway. Now, they can be helpful in many other ways. I'll talk briefly about that, but the core developmental process, they're not going to be able to support you in. And it's really important to just be wakeful and curious about this dynamic. So one question that you can ask is, what is the stage of development your professional support is tested at? Now, they may or may not have gotten tested. And if they're not familiar with developmental theory, and they're not familiar with growth narratives, and they're not talking about development, then move on, right? Growth narratives, having a story about how their own mind has evolved qualitatively through a series of transformations is an essential feature. It's one of the most pronounced features of post-conventional development. So if they're not reflecting that kind of narrative back to you, move on. Hopefully they've taken some kind of a stage test, and perhaps they even use a stage test to assess their clients to get kind of a sense of it. But it's a question that's certainly, when you're searching around for somebody, ask it. as it'll reveal certain pieces of information for you. And if they're testing in the more conventional bands of ego development, or they are not coming in at a fifth order complexity, just to use Keegan's model and then Cook-Reuter and Jane Lovinger's ego development, that test, just being two of many, but probably two of the main ones that I would recommend. So if they're coming out at more conventional measures, it's like, great, fantastic, you know, and then keep looking, you know. Or you might really like somebody and feel like, I've got something to learn from this person, and you can leverage them for that particular area of your life, but you're going to need somebody else to help with the more developmental nature that's underway with you. Another inquiry that'll help you discern is they need to be able to demonstrate their current process in the moment. And what I mean is that if you press on them and ask them about their own experience, you should get a very rich, nuanced, and complex landscape of what is going on in the moment. And I want to emphasize on the moment-to-moment process. If they don't have the requisite capacity to look at their own process, what's happening right now in this sentence, then there's a chance that they are going to be completely unable to facilitate your development in terms of your own post-conventional relationship with immediacy. So when you ask them what's going on for them in the present moment, right? Do you get a narrative about what happened yesterday or what happened 5 minutes ago or what's likely to happen? These are all less complex ways of relating to immediacy, right? And your coaches and therapists that are resting upon that facility are they're lacking in some of their post-autonomous curriculum and capacity, if you will. So, again, if they are firmly rooted in their autonomous functioning, they're simply not going to be skillful at facilitating your post-autonomous development. And in many ways, they'll likely mislead you into their own interventions as they resolve try to resolve your forced risks, or forced risk if it's just a singular thing, if you've kind of boiled it down to that. And this is another feature that I invite you to look at and assess the professional support that you're getting at, is what is their relationship to resolutions? And autonomy loves resolution. So if they love resolution and they're confident in their ability to resolve what it is that you're in, be wary of this. Resolutions are often a signal that your coach and or your therapist is operating from their own autonomy. And they may valiantly believe that they will be able to figure out the resolution with you. Or they may actually know. They might be completely certain, I have resolved this so many times in the past. And this is something to be suspicious of. Because again, resolution is a great way to say you're not going to develop after that. You're going to simply rinse and repeat. And there's something inherent in elegance that is committed to the continual growth and the ongoing refinement of who you are as a human being. So if you get a sense that resolution is the agenda, this practitioner is likely missing the capacity to help you grow into your elegance. And they may very well be able to help you strengthen and refine various aspects of your autonomy and how you function in life. And this might be very useful, as I mentioned earlier. And you might choose to leverage them specifically for that task. But let's not pretend as if It's going to bring some resolution to the force risk that may be designed to grow the faculties of elegance within you. And that's the ultimate importance, at least from my vantage point, is that the force risk is there not to be resolved. This misses the point entirely. The force risk, this challenge in your life, exists precisely to resolve you, to grow you, to transform your mind, your heart, your complexity, such that at the other side, you're not the same human being, employing a strategy that brings more or less some resolution to your experience. No, absolutely not. Elegance and what we're really investigating together, and especially when we look into force risks, these are dimensions of life that are designed. There's some intelligent design that actually wants you to become more complex, that wants you to become more elegant, more human, more beautiful, more good, more